There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 107 FM Talk 106.5. This show is called Midday Mobile. Hi, I'm Sean. Occasionally, or a lot, host this show, so I'm glad you're here. Another hour of live local talk, and of course, the phone line and the text line open for you, 343-0106. If y'all are new, 251-343-0106. And before, because my friend John Sharp from AL.com is joining us in a second, he's one of us, but he's also like a real journalist. And so some of the stuff that we do on the show that is, I'm going to do this separately, and then I'll introduce John. So a bunch of texts from y'all coming from earlier last hour when I kind of asked the question about this pay-per-view slap fighting event and said what other games that we played as boys. It may be some girls, but in my world, it was all boys. The games we played would translate into some kind of pay-per-view event. A lot of stuff on here, but Curtis stood out to me. Curtis suggested a towel pop contest. You know, because obviously there's got to be something. People want to watch other people in pain, so they watch this slap fighting stuff. A towel popping contest. Curtis, I think you would have to have it like the same towels, because you remember some towels pop better than others, right? But everybody would have to be issued, like, here's the standard towel. So it would be about technique, you know, with the towel. And then I guess, yeah, one person gets a pop, and then the other person, you're on to something, Curtis. I think we're going to make some big money on this, or one of y'all will be opening that up. All right, without further ado, it's my friend John Sharp from AL.com. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean. Yeah, I don't know about a 64-man Bloody Knuckles tournament on live on the Ocho, but...
But towel popping.
Either shot.
Remember, yeah, you get the towel and you wrap it up there around the pool. You know, everybody's around the... go out to the... And then you dip...
Brings back junior high memories, yep. Yeah, but...
you dip the end in the water and make it pop. Yeah, yeah. See, I'm telling you, we're on to something. We'll have our own... You know, heck, we don't need ESPN. We'll start our own streaming channel. Nothing but games that we played as boys, and we're bringing them back. All right, a lot to get into here, and of course, y'all can read this over at AL.com, and then John will tell you how to find them directly on social media before we wrap up. But the Big Ten mayors are in town, and this is, I guess, maybe for people who haven't heard us talk about this before, what's the Big Ten mayors? What is this?
So they were in town. They were in town Sunday and Monday. But
yeah.
What the Big Ten mayors are is they are the mayors of the 10 largest cities in Alabama. So you have it's based on population. And it was started about 8-9 years ago by Mayor Sandy Stimson and former Montgomery Mayor Todd Strange. And they came up with this idea. And they meet a couple times a year. Definitely they meet right before the legislative session. This is an annual meeting that they have, in which they all get together and craft out similar issues that might result in a legislative agenda. And it's proven to be effective over the years. Last year the law came into effect, but the legislation was 2 years ago, the Anaya's Law.
Mm-hmm.
And we've written about that a lot. We've discussed it a lot lately. That kind of originated out of the Big Ten mayor discussions. There's been a lot of discussion over the years in regards to, I don't know the term off the top of my head right now, but it's basically online tax.
Yeah.
And how that would apply counties versus cities, who gets what, and that sort of thing. The Big Ten mayors were very integral in drafting those issues as well. So they've had an influence over the years. Clearly, you're the mayor of one of the largest cities in Alabama. You bring the 10 of them together. They're going to have a legislative agenda, and they put it together, and they take it to their state representatives, state senators, and see what they can do as far as formulating bills in the legislature and seeing how far they can advance during the session. We still have a few weeks, over a month, I think, still before we even have the session begin. So what the mayors did when they were in Mobile was they got together, they talked about ideas, but they didn't craft specifics yet as far as, we want HB 44 to say this. They came up with more generalities on what kind of policies they may want to pursue. And they still have some time, I think, to put together the details because, again, the session doesn't really begin until March 7th.
Okay. So it was interesting, and people see this when they read your story, that this, what they're pushing here, one of their legislative priorities, is one that I know would bring Mobile into the mix, of course, and Birmingham and Huntsville. I don't know about the other cities, the other seven, but this question about Glock switches or switches for these handguns, because obviously we know the story here in Mobile, but this also is a issue in Birmingham and Huntsville. So they want this addressed.
That's correct. And we tend to call them trigger activating devices, I guess you could call them. But in short, Glock switches. And that's, the gun that was used in the shooting on New Year's Eve in downtown Mobile had one of these switches on it. That kind of sparked this discussion of where we're at today as far as, well, wait a minute here. Clearly these are not allowed by federal law, but we don't have a state law addressing this. And so lawmakers want to write up a law that, or at least Mobile officials would like to see lawmakers craft a bill, craft legislation that could potentially be law, in which would mirror federal law, in essence. That's basically what they're looking at. But again, I have not seen the bill. It has not been written yet. Mayor Stinson indicated yesterday it had not been written. They're being very careful about how it's worded, because in this state, it's going to be a very sensitive issue. You certainly want to make sure the bill isn't worded as such, whereas it seems like it might be viewed as a gun control measure. And then when you have a supermajority legislature that's less than a year after approving permitless carry, that may not go over too well politically. So, the political realities are looming there. And the mayor, Mayor Stinson, and he knows that. And he admitted that, we recognize that. But, they said that's why we're taking the time to look at the wording of this bill and making sure that it could be something that is viewed more as a public safety measure than a, perhaps perceived as a gun control measure.
Yeah, but there's a precedent set here at the federal level on these, activator switches. It's and how it, I've talked to the MPD Chief Prine. I've talked to Sheriff Cochran back then about this and their feelings that they can use the feds, but there's an issue with, getting those people off the street quickly. Going the federal route doesn't work as well as it would if it was state law.
That's correct. And there's also other states that have crafted similar laws. So Alabama would not be breaking new ground here. So, my understanding, I think over 30 states have done this. So, it's something that, I think that lawmakers just need to take a look at what's been done before and do their homework and put something together and see where it goes. But, this is something that the Big Ten mayors seem to support. I think it all comes down to the wording of the legislation, but we'll see how that plays out, who the sponsor will be. I will say that I've reached out to some of our local lawmakers, and for whatever reason, they have not contacted me back on this particular issue, so that makes, I immediately get, I wonder why that is. I simply think it's just that nothing has been drafted yet for them to comment on, so out of fairness, that could be the case. I did talk to House Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter. He indicated he was unaware of the proposal, and he just out of fairness to the issue and the proposal, he's just going to wait to comment more until he sees the particular legislative item there that they're talking about.
All right, you're just joining us, talking to John Sharp with AL.com, and this transitions, I guess, makes sense then. A story you have up today about Mardi Gras and how you say how Mobile plans to make Mardi Gras a safe event. So you reference here in your first paragraph the Nelly concert at Mardi Gras Park. It was not long, maybe that, yeah, just days after the New Year's Eve shooting, that I was on air talking about that. And at that point, I had lots of texts and some phone calls, but lots of texts with people saying, well, what about the Nelly concert? How are they going to make that safe? And, you know, and we went back and forth on that. Like, you know, there were a bunch of officers downtown for the for New Year's. So what do they say about this opening of Mobile Mardi Gras downtown Friday night?
Yeah. More officers, be prepared to see more uniformed officers, more blue light, more cars stationed with their blue lights shining. At least this is what has been told to me. And also, Chief Prime said that, you know, they're going to have spotlights downtown shining up Dauphin Street. I think they already have that right now. They had that during our walk. But, you know, they're going to place them along the parade routes where, you know, areas have not been well lit before in the past. Those are just some of the strategies that they're going to look at doing. There is no metal detector to get into Mardi Gras Park. So it's, you know, it will be open.
Yeah, because if you put a fence up,
alcoholic beverages will not be allowed. But as far as additional security there, from what I've been told is that they're going to be utilizing their entire police force. That's around 400 officers. Now, Mobile police are down in the number of officers, about 70, 80 short mm-hmm. of where their budget is at. So that is a shortage right now that Mobile is experiencing. But I did ask Mayor Stinson whether or not, you know, they're going to have to reach out to other agencies to bring in backup to help, you know, Mobile Police Department out, because these guys are going to be working overtime through Carnival. And he'd indicated that, you know, they right now the strategy is to utilize the Sheriff's Department, which they've done before in mm-hmm. the past. And so that's, you know, that's kind of the plan there. I know in New Orleans, for instance, they got a significant shortage. They're under 1,000 police officers over there, which they're usually, their optimal number is around 1,600. And so they're looking at a significant shortage in New Orleans. And what the mayor is doing over there is trying to reach out to other agencies to bring in other police officers to the city to you know, patrol Mardi Gras. So, but that's not going to be the case here right now, as far as I'm aware of. But there will be an increased police presence, from all things that I've been told from the police department.
Well, we will. Hopefully, that's what it takes, and hopefully, we come out of Mardi Gras on the other side that all was calm and peaceful during Mardi Gras. John, as always, I appreciate our conversations. People want to find you, they can go to AL.com and read this, but you put your stuff up on Twitter as well.
Yeah, all my stories, I put them up there at JohnSharp99.
Always a pleasure, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, Sean, thanks.
All right, you too. There goes John, AL.com, and yeah, check him out right now. Read those stories about the Big Ten mayors and a whole lot more, and we're coming right back. It's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 124, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by Adventure Earth Bicycles. Oh, I got to put today's picture up, and I think, Leanna, we can put, maybe you already have it up on the Facebook. I'll put it up on Twitter as well as we got ready for the ride. Okay, let me tell you about Adventure Earth Bicycles. First of all, Clint Jamison, who I've known forever, not that we're old, but Clint, we're old, known him for a long time. Man's a great, great multi-sport athlete and bicycle riding fool. And he knows bikes inside and out. So no big surprise, 10 years ago, he started Adventure Earth Bicycles. They have 400 bicycles in stock. And well, I was there about 3 weeks ago. And it's, I mean, it's crazy. They got so many. But I want to talk about they got 50 e-bikes in stock. So when I went to Clint for this, I went with the e-bike. He recommended the Magnum Scout, and that's the one I'm riding. If you'll look on our social media, you'll see pictures of it. Now, he has e-bikes from seven different manufacturers, including Magnum, and Denago, and Bulls, and Velotric, and Day 6 Comfort. I mean, you've got the selection of bikes. I went with this one, and this is why Clint was talking to me about it, because I'm going to use it, and I do use it, outdoors. Really, I don't ride on paved roads at all, but daily, I'm riding on gravel and dirt roads. And yeah, like I said, I've been using it hunting and doing other things. I've been keeping that little German Shorthair puppy worn out because, let me tell you, I can't walk fast enough for him to get his energy out. But on an e-bike, I can definitely pace it. So, and by the way, side note, he runs somewhere between at 8 miles an hour. 11-week-old puppy can catch me at 12 miles an hour. He can't. And you're like, how do you gauge that? Well, it's got an electronic display there, so you can see how fast you're going. I run my e-bike in what's called the eco mode. So you're riding the bike, and it's you're having fun. You're getting exercise, which now riding a bike daily, I forgot how much I love it. You've got this. If you're going up a hill or you just don't feel like pedaling as much, when you're in the eco mode, it'll boost you. So you got the electric, the big battery pack. It'll boost you and keep you like at 8 miles an hour. If you're going down a hill, riding it lets off, and you can just ride that way. You also, though, have a throttle on the right-hand side. And so if you need to outpace your German Shorthair puppy or you're trying to get home on time, whatever it is, you can hit that. And I think it will go up to 28 miles an hour, which is really, really cool and can get you places fast. I thought about this and the use for it. Now, I'm using it in the outdoors. I'm using it for hunting, using it for running the puppy, using it for some exercise and fun of riding on some gravel and dirt roads on the farm. But the a use I could think about it is like, okay, if you live somewhere that you're going to ride a bike to work, right? You lived in it and you're going to do that. Well, if you got a job where you got to not be sweating when you get into work anytime other than maybe, December, January, and February, you're going to sweat. But if you use the bike, these e-bikes, under the electric mode, you're just riding. You're not even pedaling. So you'll get there. You won't be sweating. And then on the way home, if you want to get a workout in, then you can ride it back the other way. Listen, you got to come see what I'm talking about. It'd been a long time since I've been riding bicycles, and I knew I'd like it a little bit. I had forgotten how much fun it is and how really I'm daily addicted to riding this bicycle from Adventure Earth. So y'all check it out. The one I have, there's a bunch of them there. I have the Magnum Scout, and you see the pictures of it, but there's a bunch of other ones, and you want to use it for hunting. Turkey season is going to be amazing. Check them out. You can give a call at 478-1000, or better yet, just Google Adventure Earth. Adventure Earth bicycles, everything inside to get you outside. And more pictures to come. All right, to the text line here. And Joel, in Somerdale, can they put anything else on TV more stupid than the slap contest? Unbelievable. I don't know. Joel, I was coming up with some even dumber ideas. Terry said, are you going to ban rat tails on your towel popping contest? No way. No, that's what makes a towel popping contest of risk, right? Is that whelp that gets left. Dirt Digger suggested maybe a 2-for-flinching league. Be interesting because it's like it's 2-for-flinching is your physical ability, but it's also your mental game, right? How you can quiet your mind. Let's see. Chris says, interesting to talk about the federal precedent for this law and compare that to marijuana laws. Yeah. And Chris, let's go back to that. The thing that drives me crazy, right? My whole beef with marijuana laws from state to state is it's against federal law. So change the federal law or enforce the law. That's my issue with it. People think it's like I'm in the weeds on the marijuana or not the marijuana. What I'm obsessed with is the rule of law. And if the law is, you have federal laws that they then go enforce, and then you have other federal laws that they don't enforce. The legislature needs to do its job. Either it's legal and this, under federal code, or if it's illegal under federal code, then you go enforce it. If it's not something remanded to the states. Paul said, you should ride a one wheel. No, I should not ride a one wheel. I'm 50 years old, Paul. I do not need to ride any kind of unicycle thing. But that e-bike, I'm telling you right now, y'all, it's like I did not realize how much fun I would have with it. It's like a daily obsession to make sure I ride that bike. All right, coming back, more of Midday Mobile. Phone line and text line, 343-0106. Also, while you're at it, check us out on the web. Of course, the app, that's fantastic. But right now, if you'll go to fmtalk1065.com, I'd like to see what your vote's going to look like as we have today's online opinion poll question right under the 1-800-GOT-JUNK logo. Would you say the State of the Union is strong? Very strong, strong, not strong at all. We're not very strong. Vote online. I'll tabulate here as we go into the end of the show. Y'all go vote. fmtalk1065.com. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, Tuesday style. Glad to have you along. Phone number to the text line, both 343-0106. Also, when you use the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can send us a direct message. It's that microphone icon on the front page. If you'll press that, you record, and it emails it to us here. We play it back on the station. Look up and see the face of Brad Sullivan from Surge Church. Of course, you hear him here at FM Talk 106.5 with our inspirational messages. And I got to ask you this before we even get started here, Brad. January, like in the world of being a pastor and all that, it's like, because I may or may not have gotten the jabs over time. They go, oh, look who came back. You know, it's Christmas. Oh, it's Easter. Look who came back. Do people like show back up in numbers in January more? Is there like a flow chart on that when you see more people showing up at Surge Church?
Well, you know what? I've been in ministry a long time, Sean. If you could figure that out, I'd like to know. But there are trends, you know, towards the holidays, it can kind of tail off a little bit, and then we've seen a big momentum again in January. So that's, I think, rule of thumb, true.
Okay.
So, you know, you just have to keep your head down, keep working, stay faithful, and just keep ministering. And one of the things that makes you cherish are the people that are your go-to people that are there, that are help make it happen.
Right.
And those are the people you just thank God for.
no joke, literally. But you have, it's interesting because, you think like, okay, Christmas brings a lot of people in.
Right.
But I wonder, that kind of January effect of New Year's resolution that I got to get back in. I got to, we got to be more diligent about going to church. You and I had never talked about this personally. So I just threw it at you here.
You know, we're seeing the last couple of weeks some people we haven't seen since COVID coming back to church.
Wow.
Which is like, hey, man.
It's been over a while. Yeah.
God bless you. So great to see you.
Yeah.
I think that's somewhat true. But hopefully what we want to impress on, we have a saying at our church, Sean, that it's in sticker form. We actually put it on a sticker. It's something that we have said so many times. It's become ingrained in our congregation, and I've certainly tried to ingrain it in my children, and it's this. It's wake up, be faithful, go to bed. Up, be faithful, go to bed. You know, it's not deep, but it's a simple idiom to just convey the fact that daily faithfulness, the power of consistency in anything you do, you know, like here at the radio station, it's your daily consistency that's made it successful. Well, even in life with God, your spiritual life, you can't have your seasons of focus and your seasons of, you're out of focus, you really stunt your growth. And so you just wake up, be faithful, go to bed, and make the things of God a top priority in your life and a top priority in your family. And that's how a Noah builds an ark over 120 years. You know, it's just wake up, be faithful, go to bed. And we always try to express that to people because, you know, if you'll just, the momentum of daily faithfulness, you'll look back over time and you'll see, wow, God has brought me a really long way, and it's further than you thought he did.
Right.
And it's kind of like sometimes I even catch myself, it's like the life you're complaining about now was the one you were praying about just a few years ago, but it was the faithfulness that got you where you are. And so that's one of the things we try to stress, so is to be faithful throughout the seasons of your life.
And with that too.
Come on, that's a good word right there. Yeah, somebody say amen out there in Radio Land.
You know, one of the things that, many things you do, that's, and by the way, Brad and I may be related somewhere back in Ireland, but no current.
It's true. It's true. Always great to be with you. Sullivan. I love to call Sean and say, Mr. Sullivan, because I never get to say that.
Mr. Sullivan, right. The two of us. So, we're probably related way back, but if somebody says, oh, that's Sean and his brother talking, brother in a way, but not blood brother. You do a great job of many things, but one of the things, like in your messages, you take things that are happening today.
Mm-hmm.
And not just say, because sometimes I get in trouble here, but I have been in church where I feel like, oh yeah, they're trying to take it, rip from today's headlines, and then they're going to say, if we, you know, here's what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it doesn't exactly match up. You do a great job of the things people are going through.
Well, thank you.
And making it real, not just like, hey, I wanted to talk about, you know, this week, so I'm going to grab something and try to make the link. How do you do that? I mean, you watch the world around you and then go find what it is in the Bible, or do you have this thing you want to talk about and try to find it? How do you decide that?
Well, you know, I've been in the ministry a long time. I was just thinking this week, Sean, 28, I'm really officially, I'm a pastor's son, so 47 years I've been in the ministry in one sense.
Right.
But officially 28 years. This is my 28th year in ministry. So I've been doing a long time. But one of the things we always try to tell people at church is that, look, don't let the news and the media be the lens through which you see the world. Let the Bible be the lens through which you see the world. And okay. I think today it's reverse. The media and cultural stuff leak into the church, and we bring all that into our faith experience, and it taints it. And so we become more, the lens that we see through is what media and culture is telling us, or what TikTok and Instagram is telling us. And so it's like, let God's word, and especially one of the things that fascinates me, Sean, about the Bible is Bible prophecy. It's just I've been studying the word my whole life, but when you study Bible prophecy and the things that, like what's been fulfilled in the New Testament to the minutest detail that the Old Testament prophesies about, and then the things that are to come, it just blows your mind how it's so interconnected. And so as you understand these things, it makes it a natural way of speaking to the things of the culture day, instead of trying to take something that happens and form a message around it. You already have
You're turning it around.
Yeah, you're turning it around. You already have a biblical lens that gives you the perspective. Like, we did a series back in the fall called titled Now Hiring. I really encourage people to go out and watch. You can watch it on our YouTube channel at Surge Church, or you could download the Surge Church app. Just wanted to say that.
There you go.
And listen to our podcast or watch the videos. But it was called Now Hiring, What the Bible Says About Work Ethic. And it was just in response to the fact that businesses are just begging people to come to work or trying to hire new people. And so we started talking about, this is what the Bible says about work ethic. This is what God promised when you were, you know, to do for you when you put your hand to something. And we, one of those messages, we talked just about socialism and how socialism today, how it's taking root, and it's very concerning how antithetical it is to the Bible and biblical principles. We talked about riches and poverty. You know, there's such an entitlement and a grievance culture today. Like back in the day, if a man succeeded, you wanted to read his book to find out how he became successful.
Sure, because I want to do that. I want to emulate that.
You want to emulate that.
Yeah.
Today, it's punished, and you want to hate the man, and you want to be jealous of the guy. And so we talked about, this is what the Bible says leads to a life of poverty, and this is what the Bible says leads to a life of riches and wealth. You know, the difference is your choice. You know, the poverty comes upon the lazy man. Bible says that the hand of the diligent will prosper. So you got to get it, work for it. But if you will, you're not working like another man works. You're working with the blessing of God on your life. And that's a part of that waking up, being faithful, and go to bed. So it's using the Bible to shape our worldview. And so we watch the news, we're not shaped by it. We're able to pinpoint what the Bible's telling you and warning you about, as opposed to being shaken by media and culture and then twisting the Bible to try to fit that thing. You know, we all wear lenses. You know, we all see the world through certain lenses, and sometimes there are multiple layers of lenses, and it's based on our background, our experiences, but you have to find a way to pull all those things away and see your life and the world through the lens of God's word, and man, when you do, it's a game changer.
If you're just joining us, talking to Brad Sullivan, Surge Church, you and I were talking the other day, and you said, hey, because we're both big Alabama football fans.
Roll Tide.
Yeah, Roll Tide, roll. And you said, hey, Jeremiah Castile's coming to town. I said, that's what?
Yes, the Jeremiah Castile.
Right, cornerback extraordinaire. So tell me what brings him here.
Yeah, let me articulate. He and I have been friends for, man, almost 14, 15 years. Just if you got a second to tell the story, I wrote a book for men that came out several years ago called Stepping Into Manhood. It's what launched our Empower Men's Conferences that coming up is in its 15th year. And at a book signing here in Mobile, one day he walked up to my table, and he introduced himself, and I was like, oh my gosh, Jeremiah Castile, you know, lifelong. I'm talking a Bama fan from childhood too. And so he got the book, called me back a week later and said, hey, I want to use it for the Bible study. He's the team chaplain for Alabama football. He's a legend. Played for Bear Bryant, you know, and then he's also the team chaplain for Alabama. And so he wanted to use the book as the Bible study resource for the 2009 championship season. That was Coach Saban's first national championship season, which I like to take part credit, even though I wouldn't tell Coach Saban that to his face. But anyway, so I had an opportunity to go for a couple of years and speak to the team in the chapel services. That was really cool. But especially, you know, just as a lifelong Bama fan, you know, sometimes God just does things for you that you just because blessings, you know, I like to call it. But anyway, from there, man, we have built a bond with the Castiles over the years. What a powerful man of God he is. If you're if you go to Alabama or you're in the circles and you talk to people, whatever, his name comes up, a respect meter is passed. I mean, it just goes off the chart. I mean, even when you hear Coach Saban talk about Jeremiah Castile, I mean, it's up. It's way up there. And so Jeremiah and Jean are in their 40th year of marriage this year. They have 6 kids. I mean, you're talking about their marriage has not just endured the test of time. It's one thing for a marriage just to endure. It's mm-hmm. another thing for it to thrive over time. Their marriage has thrived, and that's all the years of NFL. They have 6 kids. 3 of the boys played at Alabama. They have a myriad of grandkids at this point. But man, they're just awesome people of God, people of faith, and they have inspired countless lives. But many people in there, they've helped people save marriages. They're really great and equipped at speaking into people's marriages. And so we just are having, coming up February 10th and 11th, we want to invite all married and engaged couples here in the Mobile area to join us. It's called Together, T-W-O, Together, Marriage Weekend with Jeremiah and Jean Castile. It's February 10th and 11th. It's a Friday night at 6:30. We have a dinner, a really nice dinner, and then the first session will start at 7:30, and then Saturday morning on the 11th, we'll have a breakfast at 9, and then at 10 o'clock, the second session will happen. And they're just going to be talking about one of the things they share with me on their heart is just building that connection that creates longevity. You know, sometimes in life, and you get busy in life, as you all know, kids and mm-hmm. responsibilities and burdens, you can even lose kind of a connection with your spouse. And so they want to talk about, you know, building that connection that's really leads to the love that creates longevity in a marriage. And so I would encourage people, I mean, really, it's $40 a couple. It's okay. It's really cheap. You know, it's really, let's just say, cheap, affordable.
Yeah.
But the content and the inspiration, whenever you hear Jeremiah speak, he makes you feel like you're going to, all right, I'm going to run through this wall. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to fight back, and I'm going to prevail. And he's just very inspirational. And Miss Jean, she's just to be able to endure all those years of football and mm-hmm. kids and sports, she's the one tough lady. And they just have they're just a model couple of what it means to be a godly couple and a godly family. And then Jeremiah's going to be staying over that Sunday for Super Bowl Sunday. I mean, what better day?
That's pretty good timing, Brad.
It is good timing. And he's going to be staying over and speaking in our Sunday experience on Super Bowl Sunday. And just for, you know, if you're an Auburn fan, come anyway, just because either way,
absolutely.
Jeremiah is an inspirational man.
That message is not an Alabama versus Auburn message.
It is. But I will say, every time I've ever been around Jeremiah, I mean, that's countless times, and whenever he speaks, he never not mentions Bear Bryant. There's mm-hmm. something about Bear Bryant, what he taught him, what he learned from him, it'll intertwine in a message. Coach Bryant really impacted his life, really changed his life, and the lessons that he learned from him, I've never not heard him intertwine a message.
So you're gonna,
something from Bear Bryant in his message. Now, I don't know if that'll be in the marriage part, but just
he carries. So you're going to hear, you get his message at the same time that message was crafted by the fact that he spent that time under the wing of Coach Bryant.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Tell folks here they want to get those tickets. Where do we go?
The registration line is very simple. Go to our website at surgechurch.tv. Click on the Together Marriage Weekend, and it'll take you to the page. It gives you the schedule, the information, the registration link. It's also it would be so, I know it's shocking, Sean, that a preacher would give a shameless plug, but the Surge Church app you could download.
Yeah.
You could do it there as well. And we would just be so honored to have people come, and we have no other agenda except, you know, we're living in a day, I think you know this, Sean, where you're seeing the breakdown of society because you're seeing the breakdown of the family unit in America, which is directly related to the breakdown of marriages. And so we want to build strong marriages, which are the bedrock for a strong family, which is the bedrock for a strong community and society. So anyway.
The app or the website?
Surgechurch.tv. And we also have on our Facebook page, social media, you'll see it there as well. And you can register there.
Hey, Brad Sullivan, it's always good to see you.
God bless you, son.
All right, Brad Sullivan checking in, and we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile. Saw some more text here about what my friend Tony Ann said. Jeremiah spoke at Penelope House luncheon. Awesome man. He grew up with domestic violence and swore he would not be like his father, and he broke the cycle. So, so many great messages there. All right, coming right back. News is next.
listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Yeah, pretty solid suggestion. We're talking about George Santos, whatever the new thing is for Santos. I am so tired of that. But the Dalton suggested maybe we could... And JCs, if y'all are listening to this, folks with the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, what about having George Santos come in for the Liars Contest? I mean, just an idea there. All right, 154 FM Talk, 106.5 in Midday Mobile. How about that? A ringer. Have Santos come in and tell us a story or two. Saw this from WKRG.com. This came up over the last hour and a half or so. It says officials with the Mobile Police Department said they're investigating after six cars were found with bullet holes near a Mobile elementary school. I mean, you got the story of the kids taking the gun to school, the other one at Theodore the other day. Of course, the national story with the six-year-old with the gun who shoots the teacher. It said, according to officials, officers were called to the 600 block of Caton Avenue near Ariel Holloway Elementary School for shots fired. Officers arrived and found five cars that had been hit by bullets in front of the victim's home. Sixth car was found in the elementary school's back parking lot. Officials say no one was injured and they're continuing to investigate. Anybody with information about this should call Mobile Police Department. It happened yesterday at 1:30 in the afternoon. This is it's continuing discussion like I've had with Chief Prine, Sergeant Young, Sheriff Cochran. Was soon to have that discussion, I'm sure, with Sheriff Birch as well. You've got they've really done a good job here since June of tamping this stuff down, but still you have not only the shooting at people, but where innocent people are hit, but you have stuff like where people's houses are getting hit or their cars are getting hit. It's just, and they're around a school. It's bad. Did I talk about the cat? No, I did. Okay, the cat thing. Folks over at NBC 15 have updated their story. An autopsy confirms a third Dolphin Island cat shot to death. What the heck is going on Dolphin Island with the cats, the stuff? From WPMI, they said an autopsy performed on a cat found dead on Dolphin Island last month confirms the cat was shot. It is at least the third cat killed that way, and island police are determined to get to the bottom of it. A hefty reward is still being offered by the Dolphin Island Cat Association. Spent a lot of time on the island. I didn't know there was such a thing. They want to know who's targeting a colony of cats located next to St. Edmund by the Sea Catholic Church. Cats, the association has been trapping, spaying, and neutering. I don't know. So there you go. Listen to this. The latest autopsy done at LSU. So they sent the cat to LSU? Recovered a bullet from the cat's head. The bullet's now being compared to those found in two other cats. Doing this is a felony, and police say they want to find the shooter before more animals or even people are hurt. Listen, when we go to a point where they're shooting up cars, where they're doing like a drive-by on cats and then they shoot up cars, then we got some real issues. I mean, that's, you know, when it moves into that level that you've got, they're going and spraying and praying with their Glock switch at the cats, and then you hit some vehicles or something, then we're up something bad there. All right, some text here before we wrap it up. Paul Feinbaum coming your way in just a little bit. Yes, Terry, it says loose cats kill birds. Listen, I'm the guy that takes the unpopular opinion and calls them ditch tigers, right? I tell people keep their cats inside. The stats I've rolled out ad nauseum on the show, the number of birds in this country that are killed. What did somebody ask me the other day? Well, what about, somebody said, but you go fishing and kill fish. I kill birds, too. I'm just telling you what the cats do that are let outside. Yeah, loose cats kill birds. Dolphin Island is a bird sanctuary, so I guess you have to choose. Yeah, so there you go. Oh, that's interesting. Unnamed texture says Santos wouldn't stand a chance of winning the Liars contest if you also invited Biden or Kamala Harris. It's interesting. Should we bring... So maybe somebody will do, maybe somebody will adept at doing like a lie based on something from Santos or President Biden or Vice President Harris. Maybe that'll happen. But that's just a suggestion as we look forward to summertime. All right, Paul Feinbaum next. I will talk to y'all tomorrow. Remember, that app, if you heard me mention it before, I'm going to do it again. Go to the App Store. If you're an iPhone user or Google Play, if you're an Android user, look for FM TALK 1065. Download the app and enjoy